As Rebecca mentioned, one of the first talks we heard was from Marisa Bartolomei, Professor of Cell and Developmental Biology at the University of Pennsylvania, who gave the 2017 Genetic Society Medal Lecture about her work on genomic imprinting. I started by asking her to explain exactly what imprinting actually is.
So genomic imprinting is a process that affects only a small number of genes. It's mammalian. And the bottom line of a genomic imprinting is that these small number of genes are only expressed either from their maternal allele or their paternal allele, the one copy they inherit from mom or the copy they inherit from dad. And the other copy is repressed.
For most of the genes, we get one copy from mum, one copy from dad, and effectively it's a backup system. If one breaks, the other one works. But these genes, it's only mum's copy or only dad's copy. And is that in all cells that it's only mum or dad's copy that is switched on and the other one is switched off?
So for certain genes, it's in all cells. But for other genes, there's tissue-specific imprinting. So for example, there may only be expression from one of the parental copies only in the brain or only in the placenta, and other tissues normally have both copies. So there's a lot of different variations on this. But for other genes, it's everywhere. Everywhere the gene is expressed, it's only expressed from one of the copies. And it's always, if it's the mother's copy, it's always the mother's copy.
What sort of genes are we talking about that are only active if they come from mum or only active if they come from dad? Are there kind of common traits between these sort of genes?
Yeah, so I think when we first started studying it and thinking about it, we thought that most of these genes were going to be growth regulatory genes and genes that were important in the embryo and the fetus. But as time has gone on, we've found genes that have other properties that are beyond fetal growth, that are properties in behavior, properties in postnatal energy homeostasis. So their properties are pretty diverse, and you can no longer just say, well, these are growth regulatory types of genes. And it may also be that there are only a few whose imprinting is important, and that others have gone along as bystanders. They are just in the region of an imprinted gene and they went along. But at this point, it's not very easy for us to tell. That said, we can say that imprinting is pretty highly conserved between mice and humans, so there must be something there that maintains that selection for imprinted genes.
I do remember the kind of idea that the genes that are active from dad are the sort of genes that make fetuses grow really big because they're trying to suck all the resources out of mum, and then the genes that are expressed from the mum's copy are the ones that are trying to suppress that. But you're saying that it's kind of a bit more complicated than that.
I mean, I think it's a bit more complicated, although that is still the prevailing theory, and people who study imprinting from an evolutionary perspective really seem to focus on those types of traits. But you could say that behavioral traits are also something that's important for maternal or paternal care. We're not really that clear on the evolutionary purpose of imprinting, but we do know it's there, and we're interested in studying, you know, what these genes are, how they're regulated, and what the consequences there are to both to human health.
So let's unpack that a little bit more. What do we know about how this is controlled? How in these cells it's only the copy that comes from dad is active and mum's copy is off, or vice versa, when only mum's copy is on and dad's copy is switched off? What are the sort of the molecular nuts and bolts that are making that activity or silencing happen?
One of the things we know for certain is that most imprinted genes are found grouped in clusters in the genome. And we also know that they're regulated by these small bits of DNA, maybe only 1 kilobase in length. And these bits of DNA seem to have epigenetic modifications that are put on in a parental-specific way. So there may be DNA methylation or chromatin modifications, and they come on either in the father's germline or the mother's germline. So at the time when eggs and sperm then meet for fertilization event, they already have their maternal specific marks or their paternal specific marks, and they go, and once they go into a fertilized egg, they're saying, oh, I came from mom, oh, I came from dad, I'll be active, I'll be repressed. And so it is the germline where a lot of these events of imprint establishment take place, And then after fertilization, they're read by the normal machinery that reads everything else in the genome to, you know, turn things on, turn things off during development.
I always like to think of these epigenetic modifications as almost like sticky notes or post-it notes. So you're saying they're being put on in the eggs. When mum's making eggs, it's like, okay, these genes all came from me. And in dad's sperm, it's like, these genes all came from me. But then if the embryo then, when it grows up and makes eggs or sperm, depending on whether it's a male or female, presumably all those marks have to be taken off again and reset.
Right. And so So then the sticky notes are sort of torn up, disposed of, and then as they go through, you know, becoming eggs or becoming sperm, they're saying, okay, they know I'm an egg, I'm a sperm, part by their genetic composition, part by their environment, and they say, okay, I'm an egg, now I will put the marks on during growth of the oocyte and right before ovulation. Or if they're in the sperm, they'll say, okay, I know I'm in the male germline, I will put on my marks. And so they know that, but they take what's present in the somatic tissue, erase it, and restart again. And that's really critical for the life cycle of these imprints.
So we have this cycle of imprinting of marks coming from mum, marks coming from dad, making an embryo with mum's genes on or dad's genes on, wiping them out, starting again, round and round and round. So we know that that's kind of how it works normally. But what about some situations where it's gone wrong? Are there diseases that are associated with problems in this imprinting?
So there are quite a few imprinting disorders, such as the overgrowth and undergrowth disorders, Beckwith-Wiedemann syndrome and Silver-Russell syndrome, as well as some neurobehavioral disorders such as Angelman syndrome and Prader-Willi syndrome, and as well as other imprinting disorders. And there are cases where there's just deletions or mutations in the expressed copy of a gene that leads to this disorder. But there are also cases of which, depending upon the disorder, how prevalent they are, where they're just mistakes in that marking of the imprint that occurs in the germline, or maybe something happens during gametogenesis where it's erased a little bit, or after fertilization something happens. It's not clear, but what we can see in some of these children that have Beckwith-Wiedemann or Silver-Russell, they'll have a mosaic pattern in their cells, so that some of their cells have their DNA methylation that looks right, normal, and some cells have lost it. And so we don't know if there's something that happens very early in development that leads to this, or if there's an environmental perturbation. One of the things that my lab, as well a few others, have studied is the effect of assisted reproductive technologies on imprints. And using a mouse model, we have shown that some of the techniques used in assisted reproduction could lead to some of mistakes in maintaining appropriate imprints that could lead to these disorders.
Basically IVF, in vitro fertilizations.
Right, that's correct. And there's been an association with increased incidence of Beckwith-Wiedemann syndrome. So the environment that an egg or a sperm or an early embryo in can be very important for appropriate imprints.
Now that we know that there are these imprinted genes and starting to understand how they work, what are still the big questions? What do we still really need to know?
I mean, I think there still are a lot of big questions, and that is, how are these genes recognized in the germline to be modified or marked with their parental origin so they're imprinted? That's another thing that we and others are still working on. So there still are a lot of really important questions to answer. And again, since it affects human health, it is something that we really want to drill down.
Marissa Bartolome from the University of Pennsylvania.